Well, we would appreciate prayer this morning. We feel like the Lord's been inspiring some thoughts to us about Jesus, our Redeemer. The children have heard perhaps a little story, and I want to read it to you again. Several years ago, we mentioned this story. We wrote on the board, "My Redeemer," that Jesus is that to us. But what does a Redeemer mean? There's a little story about a sailboat. Brother Lester used to tell this. And so I found it. I went searching for it this, I don't know, last night or something. And found a written copy of it. The story is told, the sailboat redemption. The story is told of a little boy who built a sailboat. He built the sail and had it all fixed up, tarred and painted. He took it to the lake and pushed it in hoping it would sail. Sure enough, a wisp of breeze filled the little sail and it billowed and went rippling along the waves. Suddenly, before the little boy knew it, the boat was out of his reach, even though he waded in fast and tried to grab it. As he watched it float away, he hoped maybe the breeze would shift and it would sail back to him. Instead, he watched it go farther and farther until it was gone. When he went home crying, his mother asked, "What's wrong? Didn't it work?" He said, "It worked too well." Sometime later, the little boy was downtown and walked past a secondhand store. There in the window, he saw the boat. It was unmistakably his. So he went in and said to the owner, "That's my boat." He walked to the window, picked it up, and started to leave with it. The owner of the shop said, "Wait a minute, sonny. That's my boat. I bought it from someone." The boy said, "No, it's my boat. I made it. See?" And he showed him the little scratches and the marks where he hammered and filed. The man said, "I'm sorry, boy. If you want it, you have to buy it." The poor little guy didn't have any money, but he worked hard and saved his pennies. Finally, one day, he had enough money. He went in and bought the little boat. As he left the store holding the boat close to him, he was heard saying, "You're my boat. You're twice my boat. First, you're my boat because I made you. And second, you're my boat because I bought you." I really love that little story. And it just tells what redemption means. That little boat got lost. This little boy made this little boat. It was his. He loved his little boat. But his little boat got out on the water and it got lost. And finally, he found it. And so he bought it back. You know, when he bought it back, he redeemed his boat, didn't he? That's what it means. He bought it back. Do you children know this morning, the Lord made us too, and he made us in his image, and he made us perfectly like he wanted us to be. And he made us beautiful people. And we get out in life and we get lost, don't we? And somehow we have to get back, and we can't get back on our own. There isn't anything we can do to make that happen, but Jesus bought us back, didn't he? And that's why he suffered on the cross. He paid the price for our sins, and the sins that we committed, and the vilest. We read the verse in the song a while ago, part of it. And, you know, he came to redeem the vilest of men. He came to redeem men who were vile, and women and boys and girls who had done vile things. And Jesus didn't come to condemn it. He came to save us, didn't he? And so today I want to talk a little bit about redemption and how that Jesus is our Redeemer. But I want to go back to the Old Testament and look at some things that we're told in Deuteronomy and different places. You know, when people get saved, there's something wonderful happens. Another version of that little story is that he brought it back and then he repaired the boat. You know, and his initials were on the boat. And I think that's true. God's initials are on us. And he wants to repair us. But there's something about when we become the Lord's and when he saves people, there's something wonderful that begins to happen in their life. Did you know that? Suddenly, things begin to be different. The world is different. It looks brighter. Things begin to change and things begin to prosper. They just do. Usually even financially. Not always, but a lot of times it does. Just things begin to prosper. They begin to look different. They begin to clean up. They begin to... all the things that sin, the marks that it had put on people, that begins to change in a great way, doesn't it? When we get saved, the Lord starts working on us. And so he redeems us, and then he fixes us, and then we're his. And then we begin to prosper. And he told the children of Israel back when they were going to take the Canaan land and go to the land of Israel, and they were going to inherit houses that they did not build and inherit things that they didn't do. God said, I'm going to give this land to you. These wicked people, he waited 400 years because the people became more and more wicked. He finally cast them out of the land and he said, I'm going to give it to you. And so he gave it to his people. And he told them, he said, now when you go in, and you get goodly cities that you didn't build. And you get vineyards houses full of all good things which you didn't fill. And wells digged that you didn't dig. And vineyards and olive trees, you didn't plant them. And when you shall have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, it's very easy for us when we become easy. When a nation becomes easy and prosperous and full of a good thing, it's easy for us to forget where those things came from, isn't it? And the Lord told him, don't forget. And so let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. That's the first part of Deuteronomy there. 6, but I want to read starting at verse 20. And it says, And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto him, thy son, thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. I want you to tell them what happened. I want you to tell them we were down in Egypt and we were slaves down there. We were his bondmen. We were his servants and we didn't have any profit to ourselves at all. All we did was work for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh took everything good that we had. And he said, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. You know, what means the testimonies? We're not talking about testifying with our mouth. What does all the writings mean? What does all the things mean? The laws that God had given and all of those things, what do they mean? What do they mean? You know, our children are going to ask us some things sometime. And they're going to ask us, why are we so different? Well, I was down there one time. I want to tell you, folks, there's people here that was way out there. And they were serving Pharaoh. Sin. They were serving the devil. And the devil stole every good thing they had. And he made it hard on them. And he made it real hard on them. And you know what? The more you're out there, the harder he makes it on you. And so he takes away your good conscience. He takes away the good things that God built into us to begin with. Satan takes that away, doesn't he? And you know what? And we used to be out there like everybody else on the beach. And we used to be out there and we used to not have any modesty about us. And we got into trouble and all those things. I'm just saying people as a whole. Do you know the Lord wants us to tell our children some things? This is why we dress the way we do. This is why we're so different and we sing the praises of God, because He delivered us. He delivered me. That's what we want to tell our children. I remember when the Lord delivered me. I remember when the Lord gave me His Spirit and things changed so much. And you know what? The Lord has done great things, hasn't He? And so when we get full and when we start enjoying all the blessings that living for the Lord bring, because after a while and we've fought some battles and we've won some territory and all of those things, there's going to be good things start happening in our lives. And good things begin to build. And you know what? Not only are we delivered from the hard taskmaster, but we come into a land where God begins to change things for us. Life begins to be so wonderfully different, doesn't it? It can be that way, folks. And you know what? The Lord wants us to be ready to tell our children. And He doesn't want us to forget to tell our children. And I'll tell you something else. He tells us, don't forsake assembling yourselves together, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. And He says to exhort one another. And He tells us to testify. The word of your testimony is part of your salvation. Do you know the Lord wants us to remember this? He wants us to give glory to God, doesn't He? He wants us to give glory to God, that God saved me. And if we can't say any more than that in a testimony, stand up and say that. We need to testify once in a while that God has done great things. And especially, not only, but especially to our children. Folks, let's testify to them. I was a bondsman back there. Now, we don't brag about what we did. We don't make it illustrious. But I'll tell you what we do. We let them know. We let them know God delivered me. And now all these things we enjoy and these friends that we have. You know, we have a neighbor that now she's in a rest home and kind of not able to think clearly anymore and all those things. But you know, I found her sitting out on the curb and she wasn't able to function properly. Where's your family? Where's your friend? Where's your friends? I don't have any family. I don't have anybody to care for me. You know, this morning, there's a lot of people in the world that feel friendless, don't they? Yes. But you know what we have? We have a whole house full of friends here and a whole church full of friends on in other places, and We can travel. We know people in all kinds of places, don't we? That's just one of the little benefits, isn't it? All this morning, what does all these statutes mean? Why the difference? Why are we different than other peoples? Why do we not have idols like they have? They can see their God because we have the real God. We didn't make Him. They made their idols. They make their castles. They try to make their future. But we have God, who is our future. All this morning, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. I saw it. Do you know, I have some things I tell my children, I saw this. I saw what God did there. I saw how He worked. I saw how He delivered. Do you know, this morning, we don't want to eat and be full and forget. Let's remember, we have a duty to do all along the way. And it's in our benefit to do that. You know the signs and wonders. Children, how many plagues was there? How many plagues was there in Egypt before they got free? There was 10, wasn't there? And you know, one thing after another happened, and these people saw it. And He said, now, when your children ask you, I want you to tell them we were bondmen back there. And the Lord delivered us with a great deliverance. He redeemed us. He bought us back. He came down to Egypt and he found us. And he helped us escape. Do you know this morning? That's the story God wants to give you. And he wants to make it real in your life and mine this morning. And so after all those 10 plagues, then what happened? What was the last one? The children, the firstborn of every family, every firstborn in the land, of cattle even, they died that night, didn't they? Except the Lord's people. And the angel passed over our houses because there was blood on the doorpost. So why do we believe in the Lord? Why do we confess before him our sins and forsake them? Why do we say we can't be a part of that anymore? Because we have escaped. And the blood is on our doorpost now by faith. And there's something different. Oh, but that's not all, is it? Then they got away, and the Lord told them, go. And you know what? Told Moses, tell them to go. And there's a whole story there, we know that. You know what? They went, and what happened? They got to the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh after them with all of his chariots of Egypt. And he comes after them, and what are they going to do? They have no choice. They can't go forward. They can't go backward. They're hemmed in. There isn't any way. We saw it with our eyes. I want to tell you, young man, I saw this thing happen. And you know what? That sea opened up, didn't it? The Lord sent an east wind, and it says it blew all night. And it made a place, it made a way, and the children of Israel went down in there and walked across on dry land. And Pharaoh's army came behind them. And the water just filled over all of them and took his whole army away, didn't he? That's an amazing thing this morning. And so, verse 23 of Deuteronomy 6 says, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always. Now remember something. The Lord don't do things for you that's not for your good. For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So this morning, let's remember what we have to share. In Revelation 15... and two, it says, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. Mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, and stand upon the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Do you know, folks, this morning, the beast, Catholicism, the image to the beast, all of that churchism that came out of that. The Lord's not in us joining a church. He's in us joining his church, where our names are written in heaven and no man can remove it. The Lord's interested in that. And so he saw these people that had been redeemed out of all of this, out of all these ungodly places and places where the doctrines of men are taught, places where your name is put on a roll, and whether you're saved or not, you are a member. Folks, I want to tell you, we're a member of God's church because we're born there. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. You know, this morning, this was right after they came through the Red Sea. Moses had a song that he wrote. He had a poem or whatever, however you want to call it. after they went through the Red Sea. And that's what this refers to here. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Both of those songs are songs of redemption. They're songs where people were redeemed. They were taken away from something. And so when you go back to Exodus now 15, I want to read some of the song of Moses. It's very interesting, and I believe it's written more than once in the Bible. It's written in Psalms, Exodus 15 and 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now, Moses was pretty happy. He just got out on the other side, and Pharaoh's army was coming hard after them, and the sea enclosed them. And Moses said, he hath triumphed gloriously. I don't know about you, but I want to tell you, the devil's on each one of our trail. And he didn't want to let you go from sin. And he don't want to let you go from sin if you're in sin. And he'll be right on your trail. But Moses had a song of redemption that he sang. And he said, the Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation, my deliverance. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. I want to tell you, recall how you got away from sin. One meeting, and we taped this. I'd love, if anybody wants it, we can find it, I'm sure. We had a bunch of the saints, quite a few of them, that had come from deep sin or different kinds of sin. And they came to young people's meeting and they told their story. Ones right among us that you would never dream, they used to drink and they used to smoke and things like that. You know, that's a bad thing to do because a lot of people never get away from it. But God delivered them. And you know, this morning, the Lord worked for them. Many times he brought about things in their life that was so amazingly God. You know, I remember, I've heard Sister Marcia tell a lot of times about her salvation experience and how she met Brother Jerry and how neither one of them were saved. But she had prayed through her life, Lord, lead me to the right church. Lead me to, Lord, lead me. I want to know. And she prayed that way. And you know what? God led her that way. Isn't that amazing? You know, and she tells it too. And I want to encourage us today to tell what the Lord's done for you. It'll help you, the one telling it. And it'll help all the others too, all of us. It'll be a blessing to us. I know we don't want to glorify the devil and tell everything we've done. But I'll tell you, we can tell that we were bondmen down there. He beat us. And I couldn't get away from it. And I tried to get away from drinking. I couldn't get away from it. I tried to get away from drugs. I couldn't get away from it. I tried to get my life in order, and I couldn't get it in order. But one day, at an altar of prayer, I met the Lord. Isn't that awesome this morning? One day I met the Lord, and he changed my life. And he changed who I was. And in the greatness of thine excellency, verse 7, Exodus 15, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against me. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed can yield in the heart of the sea. The flood stood upright. You can't believe what happened. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it happen. You ever seen some things that you tell your children, I saw this happen? I want to tell you, that's a powerful witness of faith to our children. You know what else? It's a powerful witness to us to remind us. Yeah, the trials are sometimes many and fast. But I serve a living God. And he's delivered me. And you know what else? He's taken me on a journey to heaven. And one day I'll find my place there too if I'm faithful. The enemy said, verse 9, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like to thee? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like the Lord? I'm looking at a people today that you might be surprised what different ones were delivered from. You know, the Lord does that, doesn't he?
Amen.
There's all kinds of addictions and issues and problems. The Lord is looking for people like that.
Yes.
Folks, we have something to go tell the world about, don't we?
Right.
He's redeemed. He redeems the vilest of men this morning. Don't look at somebody with disgust because they don't. Maybe they've never been told. Psalm 107 and 2. I remember one time when I was young, but old enough I should have known better. And I've told you this. We went by a gas station when we were in Florida. I was on a trip, and there was some guys with long hair and, you know, they looked like the hippie type and all that. And I called them a name, not out loud, but to those around me. I just said something about, look at those scumbags. And one of the brothers that was with me that was saved from that very kind of life, he just was like, I can't believe you said that. Well, I didn't even know what he was talking about at first, because to me they were disgusting. But you know what I found? The Lord wants to save those people. He wants to give us a burden for them, and he wants us to love their souls. Psalm 107 and 2, listen to this. Folks, this is a psalm that we can sing this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know, every once in a while during Wednesday night service, I like to just say that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know what? There's power in that. There's power in that. The testimony of our words, giving testimony to what God has done. I want to encourage the young children and young people. I appreciate the ones I've been hearing lately. Pipe up and give a little something to the service. I want to tell you, the Lord is pleased.
Yes, he is.
He's pleased when you, if you cannot do any more than stand up and say, thank God I'm saved.
Amen.
You just landed a blow right on Satan's nose.
Yes.
Did you know that? You just landed a blow right on Satan's nose when you said, I'm saved. So this morning, Let's let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's take it to heart that we want to be in that place. We want to be, we want to give our part this morning. I want to encourage all of us to pray and ask God, Lord, give me words of life that will feed someone else. Give me a little exhortation or testimony. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, verse 2, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Anybody can relate to this? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. Oh, do you know the Lord satisfies the longing soul? And he'll do greater than you can think. He'll do that. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. And break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, listen to this. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Doesn't mean everybody that's afflicted is a fool, but fools, it says, this happens to many times. Because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Talking about redemption this morning. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Oh, this morning, I want to tell you this morning, there's a place there that the Lord wants to help us to declare him to the world around us and to men, to women, to our brethren, to our children, to our family. Declare what the Lord has done for you. Remember something. He was wounded. Why? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know, does any of us here, I just want to see any hands that can say, I never went astray. I never did anything that I shouldn't have done. When there's none of us here that have anything to brag on, is there? And so the Lord was bruised for that. He was wounded for that. He was put to death for that for us this morning. Oh, I want to encourage us today. It goes on down in Psalm 107 and verse 20. It says, he sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. And then in 22 again we read, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Now I want us to remember something. The song that Moses sang to the Lord when he was delivered from so great a destruction, it come out of his heart, didn't it? In verse Revelation 5 and 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There it is, from every tongue, every kindred, every nation, everybody. Folks, I know that most or all of us here, we know that, don't we? We agree with that. We believe that. I want to tell you, there is never a place for prejudice because of color or because of ethnic groups or things like, there's no place for that in God's kingdom, because he's redeemed his people out of every nation on the face of the earth. And every one of them that's redeemed is our brother and our sister this morning. Oh, I want to read a song here by Fanny Crosby. It's called Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Now, Fanny Crosby, remember, was blind, but she found so much to find joy in the Lord. Verse 1 says, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. And the refrain says, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Now, if anybody had a reason to complain, I think Fanny Crosby would have been one of them. But her grandmother taught her, this is a gift from God. This blindness is a gift from God. She didn't know it. She didn't know how. But I will tell you, when she was very young, she wrote a poem. And in it, she very clearly states that she won't be complaining about it. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon, with the spirits made perfect, at home with the Lord, I shall be. Oh, I just want to encourage us this morning. Don't quit remembering. That's why the Lord instituted the Passover. That's why we have communion. The Lord wants us to remember. He wants us to remember. We were redeemed. We were out there. We were sinners. We were under the yoke. And the Lord redeemed us this morning. So when your children ask you, fathers, what's these things mean? In Joshua, there was a place there where when they went through the Jordan River, the Lord told them, each one of you take a stone out of there and put it in a pile over here. And when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And you remember the story when the Lord thundered. The Philistines were coming. The Philistines were there. They were going to tear the Israelites up and kill them. And I don't know what all they... And they asked Samuel, pray to the Lord for us. And the Lord, and Samuel did that, and he offered a sacrifice. And the Lord thundered, a great thunder that day. And the enemy was completely done away with. Well, I want to tell you this morning, the Lord does some of those things for you and me. And, you know, from that time, they never came back. But there was a stone that they put there. You remember what the name of that stone was? Ebenezer. And that Ebenezer stone was for them to remember. And so this morning, I want to encourage us today, remember what God has done. Lest we forget, in the midst of life and in the midst of prosperity or the midst of trials, we forget. Let's remember what the Lord has done. And let's tell it as well. You pray for me.